All right, we're going to get going to the show right now. A good friend, Mark Simon, is going to join me from Sports Info Solutions. And we're going to talk a few things about baseball and seeing what could be possibly in trade deadline here in the next 24, 48 hours and some other stuff. Let's welcome in Mark Simon. How are you this morning, Mark?
Hi, I'm good. Like you, I was a rookie in 1982. That was my first year watching baseball games. So how you doing?
We're rookies together. I guess we've had a long career together then, huh, Mark?
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Well, I tell you, one of the biggest things that happened yesterday was this Giants bullpen. They were outstanding, every bit of them. Even Trevor Gott giving up a triple and then hold them at third. What did you see in this bullpen yesterday, and what do you see moving down the road with them?
I think they were fortunate. I think it's really hard to get five guys to put up a zero for an inning. They've done it a couple of times this year, but this is like the first time in about a month. I think if you have to ask guys to do that repeatedly, I think that's very challenging. I think it was good that Trevor got another shot at things, and you know, didn't necessarily look fantastic, but it looked good enough. There are little sparks with some of these guys here and there. I just feel like we haven't seen enough of someone like Caleb or Sam Selman to really get a feel for what they are just yet. But a couple of them have shown some good signs at different points this year, Tony Watson being probably the best of those.
Yeah, we're speaking to Mark Simon this morning. I tell you, one of the guys that everybody talks about is Sam Coonrod and how hard he throws. Of course, 101 yesterday. But we've always talked about his control. He just seems to throw instead of pitch. And last night, Gabe Kapler on the postgame show, he has said repeatedly, we just want him to throw strikes. It doesn't matter if he has to hit a glove or not. We're just trying to slow him down mentally so he can focus a little bit more. Tell me your thoughts about Sam Coonrod moving forward.
Yeah, he needs to get more. He needs to throw more strikes, but that means he needs to get more chases. If you look at his chase rate this year, it's 19%. And just to put a number to kind of like, all right, how do you perceive that? 19% is bad. You should be getting 25 to 30% chases, which means that either the hitters know what's coming and you're tipping them off in some way, or you're throwing non-competitive pitches. So I think that would be an area of what I would be looking for with him. He is getting a decent swing and miss rate on his stuff because he throws 101, but he needs that kind of that second thing to go with the 101 to make that even more effective and to give him another option to get guys out.
Yeah, I tell you what, Mark, he struck out looking Stephen Vogt. Was it Vogt? I'm looking here real quick over my notes yesterday on a changeup. It was Stephen Vogt in the seventh inning. And I tell you what, I just or was it the sixth inning? Sixth inning, it was Peralta, my mistake. And it was just a shocker because he was throwing 101 and 99, and then he drops a changeup on him to walk off the mound. Those are the things that encourages all young pitchers if they can throw a third pitch in there besides just the fastball breaking ball. And if he could get that even over the plate, even for a ball, like you're saying, out of the zone, that's just another piece of the arsenal he can throw out there. And he's such a young, inexperienced pitcher so far. What do you think about a third pitch out of Coonrod?
Yeah, I think that would help. I think it would help. The curveball has not been what it was in the 25-ish innings that we saw last year. So I would worry with him just to find a second one at this point, and then the third one hopefully comes. I feel like, and you would have a much better handle on this probably than I would, is just that this is something that comes with the territory of being a young pitcher, and that you really get a feel for something like this in his third, you know, second or third year once he's got some innings under his belt. And if he's throwing 101, that's generally a pretty good sign to start.
It sure is, and I tell you, he was out on the IL with a lat problem, and that's come back very good. And I just want to see him do this more consistently. I think you and I both looking at analytics with him, he has a good one and a bad one, and he has to scratch and get that out of his mind and build his confidence in back-to-back innings or back-to-back games. So let's get into today's starters, Johnny Cueto against Taylor Clark. Both these guys throw really three to four different pitches. They both have great off-speed pitching. Tell me a little bit about both of them and what do you see in this game today?
So with Cueto, he's coming off the start against the Dodgers, and I think this will be interesting because if you watch both Dodgers games, normally for him, they swing, like hitters swing at the changeup a lot against him. The Dodgers didn't in either of the two games, which led me to think that they either had it and knew it was coming, or he was just throwing things, as I said before, that were non-competitive. Normally, when like with him, the changeup's going to decide whether or not he's effective or not. And I think he's more likely to have a good game with that today. In fact, by the analytics, the Diamondbacks, when you combine what they do when they hit it and what happens when they don't hit it, the Diamondbacks are the worst team in baseball at hitting changeups this season by a pretty good margin. So you would think that that would bode in Cueto's favor. Taylor Clark, I actually watched, because I wanted to do this before I talked to you, I watched his changeup. His changeup's been very good this year. Opponents have one hit against it. They've made like 17, 18 outs. His changeup is completely different from Cueto's. He's willing to throw it down the middle or bottom of the zone. It's not a pitch that dives that often. It's just a pitch that he throws 4 or 5 miles per hour slower than his fastball, and he hopes for the best. And this year he's gotten the best with it this year, throwing it for strikes more and a much more effective pitch.
You know, Mark, looking at Cueto's numbers, lefties against righties, a left-hander's hitting 264 off him, right-hander's 210. That has always been a plus for Johnny Cueto because of all the different motions he throws and all the different velocity changes and the breaking ball. With this pretty solid left-handed lineup that Arizona will throw out there today, what do you think he has to really stay away from? Who do you think?
Typically, like David Peralta didn't have a good game yesterday. He was 0-for-4 with a couple of strikeouts. So he would be someone that would be on my mind. And obviously the Martes. But again, you said it, that he's got the advantage against the Martes today in the righty-righty matchup that he should be, at least with Starling, he should be pretty good. With Cattell, he's going to have to look out. But Cattell hasn't really hit for power much this year. Another thing to note with them is that Christian Walker has been a lot better offensively this season than last season, and he's the guy that could cause the Giants a little bit of trouble today. He did hit for power last year, didn't hit for average. This year his batting average is up about 50 points, and I guess I would be a little wary of him today.
Yeah, he had a couple good games here in San Francisco last weekend. He went 4-for-4 in one game, and then yesterday Cahill kind of hung a pitch and he knocked it out of the yard for his fourth home run. I thought so far I've seen him probably the most consistent bat against the Giants in this, you know, they've only played him 5 times. So, you know, just to keep an eye on Christian Walker, I've always liked him as a hitter. He's a very aggressive hitter. And I, the one guy that I've always liked that he really hasn't done much is like what you just said, David Peralta, a left-hand hitter. And he just is scuffling lately and really hasn't put up the numbers that we know of Peralta. Again, Cole Calhoun, what a pickup. I've always liked him when he played with the Angels, just a stellar outfielder. Do you really see Cole Calhoun, as a leadoff hitter, though? That kind of surprises me.
Yeah, the team seemed to really be experimenting with that the last year or two. His OBP this season is 338. For his career, he's like a 320. So you're right, that's not your typical leadoff hitter. I'm thinking maybe it's just that they don't feel like they have anyone else because they want to bat the Martes in a little lower in the order, and they're not necessarily putting as high a priority on the top guy. So that's definitely a little screwy by statistical standards.
We're speaking to Mark Simon from Sports Info Solutions this morning. One of the things that the Giants have cleaned up is their defense. They were really bad for a while there. And I would say the last couple of weeks, there's just been some physical mistakes. But the mental side, I think the mental mistakes have cleaned up considerably. Tell me your thoughts on the Giants' defense.
Yeah, so we have two ways of looking at this. We've talked about it a few times with Marty in the past. That we have like this mistakes calculator that looks at some of those mental things or that takes into account when a guy slips and falls and botches the play. But by defensive run save, they're actually top 5, top 6 in the National League right now. They have been a lot better. The right side of the infield has been better just in terms of getting to balls and then turning them into outs. One thing that I mentioned very early this season that has held true so far is that if you look at where they put guys in relation to where balls are hit, they've done a really good job of putting guys in the right spots. Now it's just a matter of getting the execution to get those guys out. But credit the coaching staff for giving them a chance. And eventually that worked. Like, it took a little while, but now, as you said, it is seeming to start to work a little bit.
You know, Mark, two of the great shortstops are in this series. I really love watching Nick Ahmed, and I'm a big fan of Brandon Crawford, of course. What do you think? Do you think these are the two best National League shortstops in National League currently?
If we went a couple of years ago on Brandon, I would lean yes. His numbers have come down a bit. He's gotten a little older. Injuries have set in. I don't know that I would put him there. Nick Ahmed, I would put with anyone. He botched a ball yesterday, if I remember right, like a pop-up down the left field line. I let out a little yell.
Yeah, I was surprised at that, too.
I was stunned by that.
Yeah, it really was.
That completely caught me off guard. But Ahmed, typically, last 2-3 years, has been among the leaders in defensive run saves. If I was doing 1-2 right now, I would say Javi Baez is probably my one in the National League. And then Ahmed's right there for the second spot. You could debate a little bit after that, but those are two guys that I really like a lot.
Well, the trade deadline's coming up here tomorrow on Monday at 1 p.m. And, of course, the Padres picked up Trevor Rosenthal yesterday, and a trade that just went through was Mitch Moreland picking him up from the Boston Red Sox for a couple pretty good prospects. What do you see in the forecast today and tomorrow? Maybe some pitching moving, not really big trades. I just don't think that's going to happen with a 60-game season. Tell me your forecast of what you think will happen.
Yeah, there's not much there in terms of options, because everyone other than, like, the Pirates, the Red Sox, the Royals, the Angels, the Mariners, and I guess the Rangers would fall into this too, are out of it. And those teams are out of it because, for the most part, their players are really not very good, and they just don't have guys to offer. I think you'll see little things, like I was telling Dave Fleming that I thought it would be in the Giants' best interest to not be a buyer and to trade a guy like a Gausman, who could be a three on a good team, and to try to get like the Farhan kind of player, which I kind of described as a team's eighth or ninth best prospect, who could play three positions, who didn't necessarily go to the biggest of colleges, who was like kind of an undervalued kind of talent. And then you hope that guy becomes like a Yastrzemski or a Solano or someone that can be a useful piece down the road. But I don't feel like there's going to be a lot. Like, the Padres are filling in parts. And I think if the Padres could possibly buy a good starting pitcher, the A's would be a team that should probably buy a good starting pitcher. But I don't see a lot of significant things happening here.
Well, Mark, John Heyman reported yesterday that the Giants were entertaining Jackie Bradley Jr. coming over. And, of course, a very good fleet outfielder, a left-hand hitter, pretty good outfielder, 30 years old. Tell me a little bit more about Jackie Bradley Jr. And is this something on the stove, or is this kind of passed already?
I felt like this was just throwing something there and just kind of being there. I actually gave Dave and John yesterday, the name that I said that I thought they should get was Kevin Pillar, and essentially you're going to the same team here. Jackie Bradley Jr. Is a below-average offensive player and has been for the last 3 years. You have to keep that in mind when you're getting him. He's a guy that's going to hit like 240. He's not going to hit 260, 270, 280. He's not going to slug 450. He's going to slug 400 if you're lucky. He's a average defensive outfielder. Red Sox fans will kick and scream at my saying that, but there are a lot of really good center fielders out there. There's no shame in being the 12th, 13th, 14th best. It would be an upgrade, like a slight upgrade, but do the Giants really need a slight upgrade? They would need, like, in order for the Giants to contend for a playoff spot, they need a major improvement in at least one place. Little upgrades, I don't feel like, are going to do it. So I would shy away from the Jackie Bradley Jr.'s or the Kevin Pillar's. But, like, that's the max to which I would go if I was going to get someone. Because, what is it, like 20%, 30% chance of making the playoffs? To play the Dodgers in the first round?
Right.
It's just
and he's
like
still owed $2 million on his contract. He'll be a free agent at the end of the year, and that's kind of like a rental player. Do you really need him as a rental player? That was kind of the same thought I had, too, Mark, when I saw that so-called rumor. And I was like, whoa, where and how would that help? You know, over the years watching baseball and covering baseball and also being a player, I always think of is once you read it, it's already been passed. You know, it's kind of old news already. And who knows if it was a phone call or just someone inquiring, but it definitely leaked from the Boston side. It definitely didn't leak from the Giants side. But I just want to kind of throw you into a trade for Mitch Moreland with the Padres, as I just talked about. What do you see the Padres using as a left-handed first baseman? I know he's hitting really well. He's had 8 home runs this year, and he's had a good career. He's with the Red Sox for a few years. What do you see with the Padres picking up Moreland?
That's a good question. You would figure he's the DH against right-handed pitching, unless they've come to the belief that others have in the statistical community about Eric Hosmer that he's not necessarily as good as advertised defensively. So maybe in the 8th and 9th innings, he happens to find his way to first base. I would be surprised if they would do that. It would be kind of a gutsy thing to do, to take Hosmer and say, you know, sit the last 2 innings. But it would be an interesting thing to do. That when I saw that one, like, my first thought was defense. I know that he's hitting the heck out of it this year, but that's not typical Mitch Moreland. I would think that maybe there's something there either that we don't know or there's something they're willing to try on the defensive side that might upgrade them a little bit at first base.
We're speaking to Mark Simon this morning on Sports Info Solutions. Bill Lasky sitting in for Marty Lurie. I tell you, you hit it right on the head. What's wrong with Eric Hosmer? You know, that was the first thing I thought of, was maybe there's an injury. Maybe there's something we don't know because they put so much money into Hosmer with that big contract. And then you go pick up Moreland and a veteran player. And again, you hit it too. Maybe a DH in that lineup. But boy, this lineup that the Padres are throwing out there, they're consistently putting some big numbers up, the home run ball. Do you think they have enough to contend, and do you think they have enough to overtake the Dodgers the month of September?
That'll be really interesting. I think I still would take the Dodgers with Bueller and Kershaw and company at the top of the rotation ahead of whatever at the moment San Diego was going to throw. If you told me that the Padres were going to trade for number one, I think I would be more into it. But I think to ask Paddock and Lamet to be as good in a playoff game as Bueller and Kershaw and others, I think is asking a lot. But they've built a nice lineup that extends a little bit. They're a little weak in a couple of spots, but they're very top-heavy, and you get a surprise like Cronenworth. That certainly helps. They will be there. If you make the playoffs, just like hockey, anyone can win it. And I would certainly give them a fair shot in a short series, but I would still take the Dodgers over them.
Mark, I kind of want to take you around the American and National League for a few minutes and talk about some of these teams and get your thoughts on them. And I want to really go to the National League East because that division is just wide open. Atlanta 18-14, and the Mets are right behind them, 3 games out. Miami, Philadelphia right in there. Washington's only 5 games out. Tell me a little bit about the National League East and who do you think could be a contender and who do you think might make some moves in that division?
Well, the Braves got Tom Malone today to add to their starting rotation. They needed more bodies with having lost Soroka, and Newcomb was terrible in his 4 starts this year. So they short things up there. Max Fried has pitched like an ace. I think that was what they were expecting Soroka to be, and it's a shame for them that they don't have a 1-2. They are good at the back of games with Melanson, Shane Green, AJ Minter and company, and Will Smith. So they're pretty good bullpen wise. They have Acuna. They have the best team in the National League East. In fact, I think I picked them to go to the World Series pre-pandemic, thinking Soroka was healthy. So I would take the Braves. I think second place in the National League I feel like the Nationals are going to catch up eventually just because of the star power that they have. But, boy, Strasburg was a big loss.
That was a huge loss for them.
The Mets should be better than they are. The Mets are 15 and 17. But, admittedly, they're very short on pitching with Stroman and Syndergaard both not playing.
And Steven Matz now has got Matz now is hurt, too. I read that letter.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that division right there is really wide open. It's really who's hot in the month of September because, I mean, Philadelphia, who was really supposed to be so good, they're only at 500, and they've struggled, even though they've won five in a row. Let's go to the Central, and really I want to talk about the Cubs. The Cubs have been playing good baseball. They've struggled here lately. Milwaukee's finally coming back, and, of course, their offense numbers are down this year. Tell me who you think the Cubs, Milwaukee, and St. Louis, and Cincinnati. We can't got to keep Cincinnati in the fold because their pitching has just been great.
Yeah, they're a bit of mystery so far, down four games to the other team. I liked the Cardinals. It seems like they've hit a fade here. If you had asked me, I think I would have said Cubs and Cardinals down the stretch, battling it out. But it feels like the Cubs are going to be all right in this thing. It's weird for them. Like, Baez hasn't hit. Rizzo hasn't hit. Nobody's really hit for them. But Darvish has pitched like a Cy Young winner.
He has really pitched well.
Yeah, he's been fantastic. And Hendricks has had his good moments, even though his ERA is now up at four. They would be someone for whom you would think they would try and get in an ideal world, I felt like Tony Watson would be a good fit for them because they don't really
have
much left-handed bullpen.
Yeah, that was the name I threw out there the other day. The Cubs needed a left-handed bullpen arm, and they didn't want to go out and spend much money, and I thought Tony Watson would fit that role perfectly. And, of course, who knows? That might still be brewing. Let's go to the American League. I really want to get your thoughts on the Tampa Bay Rays. I just think this team is just put together so well. Their defense is just dynamic. Tell me your thoughts about the Tampa Bay Rays, who now has the best record in the American League at 23-11.
Yeah, this is a team that was really well built, and I feel like they're bigger and better than the sum of their parts. You mentioned the defense. They have the best defensive outfield when they want to, if they put Margot, Kiermaier, and Renfro from left to right. They've gotten a very strong surprise year from Brandon Lau, who's got 10 home runs and is averaging nearly an RBI a game, slugging over 600. They haven't hit all that much. Like, they've hit some, but they're ninth in the league in batting average. They draw a lot of walks, though. They're second in on-base percentage. They're second in runs scored. They find ways to get on base, which is kind of like reminiscent of those A's teams of the Moneyball era. And they're strong at the top of the rotation when they're healthy because they can throw Morton, Snell, Glasnow, those three guys. They've had some injuries, though. Morton's on the DL. Yarbrough got hurt the other day. Their best relief pitcher, Nick Anderson, who was very impressive at the very end of last season. Zero ERA this year in nine innings, but he's hurt as well. The thing is that they keep finding pieces. Like it's almost like they have a reservoir of just arms and gloves and bats that they can put in, and in the end, they're going to put their guys in the right spots to catch balls. Those guys are going to make plays, and the John Curtises and the Josh Flemings of the world, who you've never heard of, are going to come in and pitch two innings at a time, and they're going to be awesome. I don't think that they're better than the Yankees talent-wise, but they found a way to be more of a survivor and a deeper team than the Yankees talent-wise.
Do you think Toronto, Blue Jays, do you think they have enough to get into the tournament at the end of the year? Because I tell you what, they picked some pieces up from Seattle, and Walker pitched yesterday, pitched really well. I thought that was a key component in their rotation. Do you think they have enough to do anything, any damage in the tournament? I call it a tournament because there's 16 teams in it.
Yeah, that's what it is. I have come to terms with the fact that this is an abnormal baseball season and postseason, and just to kind of take it as being grateful that it exists. So the American League's funny because there are these teams in it in every division that are just really bad, like the Orioles, the Red Sox, the Royals, the Mariners, the Angels. So you can eliminate right now with half the season to go five teams, which means that you've got 10 playing for eight spots. And the Blue Jays have banked 17 wins. They're 17-14. They've gotten some contributions from guys that you would not have expected. Teoscar Hernandez for AL MVP, 1,000 OPS, 12 home runs, 27-year-old outfielder who has a lot of swing and miss in his bat. But this year, when again, going back to what I said before, when you combine what he's done when he's hit it and what happens when he doesn't, against fastballs, he is the arguably the best hitter in baseball this year. Like ridiculous numbers, like 500 batting average, close to it. He's been absurd. So he's been really good. Grichuk has been really good for them. Guerrero has been good, not necessarily great. Bichette got hurt.
Yeah, that was Biggio, a big injury.
Biggio rather has a 400 on base. Their pitching is you have a good guy at the top of the rotation, but the bullpen's a lot of unknowns. And for now, they're going all right. I don't know that I would trust them. The one thing that I would be a little concerned about, we mentioned the Rays defense. I think the Blue Jays are last in baseball. They're either last in baseball or last in the American League in the sense of runs saved. They're not a good defensive team. And I think that if you look at the history of our defensive runs saved stat, the good teams tend to be good defensive teams, and the bad teams tend to be bad defensive teams. So either they got to get better, or they're fighting the odds on something like that, and eventually their luck might run out.
Mark Simon's joining us this morning. Bill Lasky filling in for Marty Leary. Just a couple more points here about the American League, and I really want to talk about the Central because the White Sox and the Twins always have caught my attention, and both these teams have had some good runs and some wins, and now Cleveland all of a sudden is getting hot. Cleveland, the White Sox, and Minnesota, who do you like winning that division and why?
Well, I always tend to be the person that goes to pitching first, so I would go to the Indians because they have the best pitcher in baseball right now, I think, Bieber, with his very impressive array of fastball and two breaking balls, two very money breaking balls. 75 strikeouts, 9 walks in 46 innings. I don't know if you've seen their relief pitcher, James Karinchak.
The rookie.
But he throws
yes.
from way over the top.
He is unbelievable.
He's striking out two per inning. He's 34 strikeouts in like 18 innings, which is
where did he come from, Mark? Did he come from their minor leagues? Because I tell you what, he's coming out this year just blowing people away.
He was a 9th-round pick from Bryant University a couple of years ago, and he has gotten. He went through the minors last year in a very similar fashion, and he's shown that it works at the major league level too. They also have Oliver Perez, the ageless one, left-hander out of the bullpen to go with Brad Hand. They Tristan McKenzie, you can pair him with Bieber, Clevinger, and Carrasco. And now McKenzie's made two. He made one really good start. He's made one that was okay. So you have two good guys there. The White Sox are going to make the playoffs, and the White Sox are going to be dangerous because it seems like they can do a lot of different things. They can hit it. Tim Anderson's hitting about 360. Eloy Jimenez is hitting very well. Abreu looks like an MVP candidate. They can catch it because they added Grandal. They added Luis Robert in center field. He's fared very well on the defensive side. The whole team's gotten a lot better defensively. Even Jose Abreu in the field has looked a lot better than he has in the past. And the most important thing they did, so they put Robert in center field, which means that they took one of their center fielders, Adam Engel, and they moved him to right. They've also got Mazar in right. Right field for them last year was like this disaster area for defense, and this year it's actually been pretty good. So they're solid there. Their rotation includes three veteran pitchers, Giolito, Keuchel, and Gio Gonzalez. And Giolito and Keuchel right now are a very good 1-2, and with Strasburg hurt and other 1-2s not necessarily all there yet, their 1-2 is a top 5 1-2 probably in baseball. It's elite. So they have some needs that they could shore up in the next 24 hours. They could maybe get another relief pitcher to maybe even get a closer to try and finish games out. They could try and get another starting pitcher to give themselves a big three and give themselves a pretty good shot at this. I think that the White Sox and the Indians, I know that people like the Twins. I think I'm a little more down on the Twins than I would be on the White Sox and the Indians.
Yeah. Mark Simon, I have pushed the pedal to the metal with you, my friend. I could talk baseball with you all day. Love listening to your insight, and I want to thank you for joining me this morning. You be safe and be well, and once again, thank you for joining me.
You got it.
That was Mark Simon with Sports Info Solutions on the pregame show, and we're going to take a quick break here on KNBR, the sports leader. We'll be right back.